learning Sefer Tehillim with the parish of Ma'am Lo'ez by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD or other shiurim online at EnglishTorahTapes.com, and also for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 18, Pasuk 47. Chai Hashem uvoruch tzuri ve'yorum elokei yishi. Hashem lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my deliverance. Having now concluded his entreaties before Hashem, David proclaims that it is proper to address one supplication solely to him. He lists three reasons why one may be assured that prayers do not go unheeded. One, the Hashem lives forever, which is unlike relying on men, of whom it is said, put not your trust in princesses, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goes forth, he returns to his dust. In that very day his thought perished. Two, blessed is my rock as the source of blessing. Three, exalted is Hashem of my deliverance. He is over all things, and there is thus nothing to keep him from doing what he wants. Pasuk 48. Memches. Hakel ha-nosein nekomos li v'yadber amim taktoy. It is Hashem who executes vengeance for me and has subdued peoples under me. God avenges my vengeance, and he forces large nations to submit to my authority. Earlier he said, Hashem girds me with strength and makes my way straight and upright. We learned that in Pasuk Lamed Gimel. If a man who is innocent in his ways before Hashem does not know the art of war and strives for peace, that is to be expected, and he deserves no special esteem. It is otherwise when a man is possessed of very great power yet strives for peace. That man merits the highest acclaim. Similarly, David said, although Hashem girds me with strength, he yet makes my way straight and upright, so my heart is not drawn to wage war against Shaul. He thanks and praises Hashem for two things. One, for having given him dominion over his enemies. Hence, it is Hashem who executes vengeance for me and has subdued peoples under me. Two, for having saved him by enabling him to flee from the hand of his foes, as he goes on to say, he rescues me from my enemies, you save me from the violent man. Hashem lives and blessed is my rock. These concluding verses are the proper culmination of the entire psalm. The scripture says that all the kindnesses and acts of deliverance which Hashem bestowed upon David made it clear that Hashem lives and blessed is my rock, and exalted is the Hashem of my deliverance. He has elevated me publicly, and therefore I will also acclaim him publicly before the assembly of elders. Accordingly, Hashem lives and blessed be my rock. Although this is the form of an oath, it is not an oath at all, as the scripture makes clear in the psukim that follow. Rather, it is an expression of praise and thanksgiving. Pasuk 49. Mefalti me oyvoy af min komai tromemeni me ish chomas tatsileni. He rescues me from my enemies. Yes, you lift me up above those who rise against me. You save me from the violent man. You rescue me from the hand of my enemies. You lift me up above those who rise against me. You save me from the violent man. According to the Targum, you save me from the violent man alludes to Gog and the armies that will confront the Mashiach. Pasuk 50. Alkein odcho bagoyim Hashem ulishimcho azamero. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Hashem, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. In this culmination of the present psalm, David says, therefore, for all the good that you have done for me, I will give thanks to you, O Hashem, among the nations. I will acclaim your great name by whose power I vanquished my enemies. I will sing praises. For all the acts of deliverance and consolation, I will give thanks to you with great acclaim and fanfare in the sight of all the nations. and I will sing praises to your name. David chanted individual psalms for every deliverance, as he said, O praise Hashem, all your nations, laud him, all your peoples, etc. Hashem extended loving kindness to David in miraculous ways and by wondrous acts of providence. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Hashem, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. David saw himself favored in three ways: that he became king over Klal Yisrael, and that he was anointed by Shmuel prior to actually becoming king, and that before his anointment he had been a shepherd. Here he acknowledges that during all these stages in his life, Hashem had bestowed loving kindness upon him. During his reign, Hashem gave him victories over all his enemies. And after he was anointed, Hashem saved him from Goliath and from the hand of Shaul, and also from Achish, the king of Gus, and from the Amalekites. When he was a shepherd, he saved him from wild beasts, the lion and the bear that he smote. Accordingly, he concludes this psalm by proclaiming, he gives great deliverance to his king after he was crowned, and shows loving kindness to his anointed after his anointment, to David and to his seed forevermore, because he was anointed. For unlike King Shaul, who reigned only for a limited span, the kingship of David continues for all time. Pasuk 51. Magdil Yeshua's Malkah Voice Chesed Lemshicho LeDavid Uzarad Olam. He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Just as I have given thanks to you for all the good that you bestowed upon me in the past, so do I give thanks for all that you do for me in the present. For Hashem, to whose name I will sing praises, bestows great deliverance to his king at the present time and shows loving kindness to his anointed, far surpassing the usual measure. David refers to himself as anointed, since he has been anointed with the oil of anointment. Who is his king and his anointed? It is David himself and his seed for all time. He gives great deliverance to his king. In the sight of everyone, I will acknowledge my gratitude that Hashem, blessed be he, has magnified acts of deliverance for his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed. Hashem will continue to do so to David and to his seed forevermore. Hashem has bestowed kingship upon David and his seed for all the time when they keep the covenant. But even when they do not keep the covenant, kingship will remain in the house of David. Now the unvowed scripture, the word Migdol, may be read as Migdol, a tower. See the Magdil or Migdol, which designates Hashem, Migdol Yeshua's Malki. It means he is a tower of deliverance to his king. Or it may be read as Magdil, a verb, and the passage says, he gives great deliverance to his king. Some say that his king and his anointed mean the same person, but others say that his king refers to David himself, and his anointed refers to the Mashiach, son of David, and to David's seed for all time to come. Similarly, Chana prayed, and as found in Shmuel Aleph, he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed, a tower. Hashem's salvation is as a tower stronghold where one finds refuge. David speaks about his own deliverance at the hand of Hashem. Magdil Yeshua's Malke ad Olam begins with a letter Mem and ends with a letter Mem. In other words, the pasuk begins with a letter Mem and ends with a Mem, an allusion to the 40 years of David's reign, matching the 40 years that Moshe taught the Jewish people. Elsewhere, the Torah writes Magdil literally with a Yud. He increases salvation to his king, as found in Shmuel Beis. For the deliverance of Israel does not come suddenly and at once, but as an ever-advancing process. According to the reading of Migdol as a tower, some say that this verse alludes to the Messianic king who will be like a great tower. As it says, the name of Hashem is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is set high, as found in Mishle. In the Birchas HaMazon, the grace after meals, the text reads Magdil, which refers to the kingdom of David that will return in the future, as it says that my servant David will be king over them. There is a tradition that on the Shabbos and on the holy days, one is to say Migdol, tower, while on the weekdays one says Magdil. The reason is that the Shabbos is as a towering king when compared to a weekday. This is also reflected in the relative sizes of the letters Vav as the long vowel and Yud as the short vowel. Another reason given for reading the word as Magdil is that here David has not yet been crowned as king and had not yet attained the level of being one of the very great prophets. The first brachas of the Birchas HaMazon, the grace after meals, were instituted, one each by Moshe, Yeshua, David, and Shlomo, and the fifth was included when the dead of Beitar were miraculously brought to burial. Accordingly, this last benediction mentions our righteous Mashiach to teach us that the people of Israel continues to endure. As our sages have said in the Chumash Devarim, that your days may be multiplied as the days of the heavens. As the days of the heavens, so the days of my people. David merited so much because he acted with loving kindness towards others, including non-Jews, as it says in Shmuel Beis. And David said, I will show kindness to Hanun. Appropriately in the Masoret Concordance, it is indicated that he shows loving kindness, appears the first time in the Ten Commandments, and here it appears the second time about David. The present psalm is followed by, for the conductor, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of Hashem. That is to say, whenever Hashem shows loving kindness to David, when he gives great deliverance to his king, heaven and earth rejoice. Similarly, when Hashem readies the throne of David, all rejoice. Thus it says, first, forever will I establish your seed and build up your throne to generations, which is immediately followed by, so shall the heavens praise your wonders, O Hashem. Chapter 19, Pasuk 1, Lamnetzeach Mizmor LeDavid, for the conductor of Psalm of David. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2, Hashemayim Misaprim Kavod Keel Numase Yodav Magid Harikiyam. The heavens declare the glory of Hashem, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. In this psalm, the singer declares that the glory of Hashem is revealed in his world in two ways, by looking closely at the wonders of the world that he created and through the Torah. He makes it known, in fact, that the glory of Hashem can be discerned more by reading through the Torah than by peering at the sun and at the moon and the host of heaven. He begins by proclaiming, the heavens declare the glory of Hashem, and then goes on to explain in what way they declare the glory of Hashem. Although there is no speech and there are no words, the heavenly bodies do not actually speak to human beings. Their line, that is their path of light beam, goes forth through all the earth to provide illumination for man. Thereby they declare to man the glory of Hashem, and men offer praise and thanksgiving for the sun and the moon. Similarly, the firmament, the pattern of stars and constellations, by constantly being where they are, proclaims his handiwork. For they are the handiwork of Hashem par excellence, being beyond man's reach. The heavens declare the glory of Hashem. Were our mouths full of song as the sea is full of water, we would be unable to declare his greatness. Only in heaven and in the firmament is fully known the stronghold of Hashem's works, the wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge, as Pasuk has found in Eov. Then again, the heavens declare the glory of God through actual song. Our sages teach that when at the creation the sun was first established in its orbit, it raised its voice in sweet melody and sang, give thanks to Hashem, proclaim his name, declare his doings among the peoples. It's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Said Rabbi Elazar, if men's hearts were not stopped up and their eyes sealed, they would be unable to bear the sound of the melodies coming from the solar sphere when it glorifies and praises Hashem. The early commentaries write that the spheres in their periodic motions recite songs and praises with a sweet and delightful melody, but we are not aware of this due to the constancy of the phenomenon. That is the meaning of "the heavens declare the glory of Hashem." But then when Yeshua commanded the sun to stand still in Gibbon, as found in Sefer Yeshua, to cease its activity, it stopped at once, thus demonstrating that the firmament proclaims his handiwork. In another sense, the heavens declare the glory of Hashem by bringing down rain that causes the earth to yield its produce and men to praise Hashem in song. Similarly, the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Rain falls from the sky, and we infer the existence of a master of the palace. At times it rains, and at times it does not rain. Sometimes there is little, and sometimes there is much, which bears witness that the world and its fullness are God's handiwork. To what can this be compared? A man was passing through a forest and beheld a house. He went inside and found a table set with beautiful dishes that were arranged in a most orderly pattern. He spent a few moments in the house and expressed a great desire to dine. But he departed in the meantime, and when he returned, he found the table covered with a great variety of foods. So he was certain that someone lived in that house, although he could not be seen. Similarly, the heavens declare the glory of Hashem, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Yom liyom yabia omer v'layla l'layla yechavados. Day to day utters speech, and night to night expresses knowledge. Day to day utters speech, the works of creation are renewed day by day. In the evening the sun sets, and in the morning it rises, which inspires men to words of praise. It is as if by teaching man to utter songs of acclaim and thanksgiving, the days and nights themselves utter speech. Renewal of creation every day makes it plain that this pattern cannot be due to chance, and every man perceives this manifestation of Hashem's might. And night to night expresses knowledge. Night, when nature reposes, is the time for thought and contemplation. Men ponder the things that they saw and heard during the day, and arrive at knowledge of Hashem. Day to day utters speech. The short day of winter says to its fellow, "I do not complain that now my days are short. A time will come when they will be long." Similarly, night to night expresses the same thing. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Ein oimer v'ein devarim b'li nishmo kolam. There is no speech and there are no words. Their voice is not heard. There is no speech and there are no words. The inner soul beholds the truth of the tale told by the heavens and the firmament. Though they make no speeches and utter no words, how? Through their activity. Their line goes forth through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Their voice is not heard, which is associated to the teaching of our sages, that if not for the roar of Rome, the sound of the solar sphere would be heard. This refers to the voice of song by the sky and the stars and their motions. The singular form Ein Omer, there is no speech, pertains to the firmament, while the plural form Ve'ein Devarim, and there are no words, pertains to the heavens. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. B'chol ha'oretz yotza kava mevikze sevo milehem lashemes Shom Oyhel Bohem. Their line goes forth through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he set a tent for the sun. Having proclaimed that the heavens declare the glory of Hashem, David now goes on to speak more specifically of the sun. It is prominent due to its size, light, heat, and abundant influence upon the earth. Their line goes forth through all the earth, and refers to the rays and beams of the sun. And their words to the end of the world refers to the people. Even those who live at the far edge of human habitation acclaim the grandeur of the heavenly bodies. Another interpretation says that their line means their influence. The effect of the heavenly orbs and stars goes forth to all the earth, and their words here, their actions are to the end of the world. In them, within the heavenly orbits, he set a tent for the sun. Some say that Oyel refers to the light. Similarly, the scripture says, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof will not give their light. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6, V'hu kechosin yoyse mechuposo yosis kegibo lorutz orach, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man eager to run his course. The singer proclaims, every morning the sun goes forth like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a bridegroom emerging from beneath the marriage canopy to a joyous welcome. All men rejoice at the light of the sun, rising in all its brilliance and splendor. Just as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber longs to return to his bride, so the sun strives to return to the place of its rising. Just as the bridegroom comes out joyfully, the sun too goes forth joyfully. Just as everyone comes out to see the bridegroom, so everyone comes out to see the sunrise every morning on their way to work. As it says, a man goes forth to his work and to his labor until the evening. This is a pasuk that's found later on in Sefer Tehillim. The light of the sun at its source would be too powerful for human beings to bear, but it is enclosed in a sheaf. Its arrival here is thus depicted as if it had come out of his chamber like a bridegroom emerging from under the nuptial the chuppah, the canopy, who leaves his splendor behind in the chamber, like a strong man eager to run his course. Even as a great warrior shouts with joy when departing for battle, so the sun rejoices when coming forth. What is that joy? The rise of the sun and its apparent brightness. To run his course, that is the swift motion of the sun. It is borne along in its daily path from east to west in about 12 hours. Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk 7, Mikzeh Hashemayim Motzo'o Uzkufoso Al-Ketzosom Ve'ein Nistur Mechamoso. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit is to the end of it. Nothing is hidden from his heat. The sun starts out in the morning from the end of the heaven in the east, and its circuit takes it from one end to the other end of it. Others identify his circuit not as the daily, but as the independent yearly motion of the sun from east to west. It moves across the four extreme constellation points of the sky during the four seasons. From the spring season to the summer season, it passes from the tip of the lamp, Aries constellation, to the tip of the Cancer constellation. Then from the summer to the fall season, it passes from Cancer to Libra. These are the names of the different constellation points. In both cases, it keeps to the north of the celestial equator. During the third part of the circuit, from the fall to the winter season, the sun passes from the tip of Libra to the tip of Capricorn, and in the fourth quarter, from winter to spring, it moves from Capricorn to the tip of the lamp constellation. As the pasuk says, it goes towards the south and turns about to the north, and it turns about continually in its circuit, as found in Kehelis. The term Tekufam thus means a close circumference or orbit. Nothing is hidden from his heat. If the sun were located in the lowest of the seven firmaments, men would not be able to escape its intense heat. But Hashem established the sun and the moon in the second firmament. Nothing is hidden from his heat, for the sun reaches all parts of the earth, and no location escapes its rays. The scripture does not say here, nothing is hidden from its light, for one can certainly conceal oneself inside interior chambers. It says, rather, nothing is hidden from his heat, for there is no creature on earth which does not receive some heat from the sun to keep it alive. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Toires Hashem, Temimo, Mishivas, Nofesh,
Edus Hashem Ne'amona Machimas Pesach. The Torah law of Hashem is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Hashem is sure, making wise the simple. Having now proclaimed the heavens declared the glory of Hashem, the singer goes back to explain the merit of the Torah. It declares Hashem's praise more so than do the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars. For while they represent clear proof of the existence of Hashem, because there's no motion without a mover, the Torah restores the soul. It removes all doubt and makes wise the simple. That is, informs those who do not understand the motion of the heavens and the stars. By placing his praise of the Torah near the discussion of the sun and stars, David is saying, just as the celestial phenomena, the sun and the stars, attest to the glory of Hashem and his wisdom, the same is true for the Torah and the mitzvahs which he had commanded his people Israel. They bear witness to his wisdom and uprightness, as it says, what great nation is there which has statutes and ordinances that are so righteous and just as all this Torah? A pasuk that's found in the Chumash Devarim. Another interpretation says, what do the heavens and the firmament and the pattern of day and night come to proclaim? They come in praise of the Torah, namely that the Torah of Hashem is perfect, restoring the soul, plus the many other excellent qualities of the Torah, just as the sun is perfect in its light, unlike the moon, which wanes and increases in the course of the month. The Torah is perfect in its spiritual light. Indeed, the praises of the Torah and its qualities of excellence are more numerous than those of the sun. Sitting too long in the heat of the sun can cause a man to faint, as the Torah relates about Yonah. The Torah, on the contrary, restores the soul. Whereas too much sunlight striking the head will cause mental confusion, not so the Torah, which makes wise the simple. One who sits too long in the sun is stricken with melancholy, whereas the mitzvahs of the Hashem are right, rejoicing the heart. We're going to learn that in the next pasuk. When one looks directly at the sun, his eyes hurt, but the Torah enlightens the eyes. Whereas the sun is sometimes concealed by clouds, the Torah is pure, enduring forever. Moreover, the sun, we're going to learn that in two pesukim now. Moreover, the sun shines during the day, but not at night, and its light is not always of the same intensity, not so the Torah. The ordinances of the Hashem are true, they are righteous altogether. Just as here, praise of the Torah follows praise of the sun, in the prayer service our sages have instituted that the bracha, enlighten our eyes in your Torah, is near the bracha over the lights of heaven. The Torah of Hashem is perfect, restoring the soul. Although our sages teach that great Torah learning is not sustained except in those who sacrifice their lives in the tents of study, the truth is that at the same time the Torah gives life to such men. They barter transient life for enduring life, because the Torah is called a tree of life, a pasuk found in Mishlei. A similar interpretation says, the Torah of Hashem is perfect, restoring the soul to its supernal source. The Torah of Hashem is perfect. Perfection of the soul cannot be attained except through implementation of all the teachings of the Torah. Even as regards those mitzvahs that cannot be kept at this time, one should study the corresponding laws and yearn for the time that their implementation will be possible. Hashem, blessed be He, will then reckon it to His credit as if He had actually kept it. Accordingly, the Torah says here, the Torah of Hashem is perfect. There is no lack and no excess at any time, hence restoring the soul to perfection. The Torah is perfect, also in the sense that it is complete, hence nothing can be taken away from it or added to it, it can never change. Regarding the sun, the scripture says, nothing is hidden from its heat, so it can cause damage if one is not careful. Not so the Torah, which is perfect, free of all harmful effects. On the contrary, it restores the soul. That is to say, it turns the intellect back to Hashem. Just as the heavens and the sun bestow benefits upon the earth and are the foundation of its survival, so the perfect Torah restores the soul and sustains its survival. The soul is like a stranger in the body. She has no one to help her. So the Torah teaches her the path of upright conduct that keeps her from succumbing to the lust and perils of this world. Just as the sun gives off light, so the perfect, all-encompassing Torah provides illumination, enlightening the eyes. As it says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the Torah is a light, a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. The singer says further, although it is possible that study of the heavenly emotions will lead one to acknowledge that the world has a creator, not every man is wise enough or knows enough to reach this conclusion. Therefore, Hashem, in His supernal loving kindness, has given us the Torah. It has the power to restore the soul of any man. Please. The testimony of Hashem is sure, making wise the simple. David begins by speaking first about the stories in the Torah, such as the creation of the world, the flood, and the bubble generation. This aspect is called testimony because it testifies about what happened in the past. This testimony is sure, reliable, unlike the imagined false teachings found everywhere. As a rule, two witnesses are required to testify to the truth, but here the testimony of Hashem alone is sure. David says, I will put my faith in the testimony of Hashem and in His Torah. Making wise the simple, the Torah is given to everyone in accordance with his level. Even a simpleton is rendered wise through her. Pasuk 9. Bikudei Hashem Yishor Misamche Lev Mitzvas Hashem Boru Meiras Einoyim. The mandates of Hashem are just, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Hashem is lucid, enlightening the eyes. The mandates of Hashem are right, rejoicing the heart. David speaks of the laws for which there is no evident reason. They are right and rejoice the heart of those who merit to grasp their esoteric content. For the more profound the thing, the greater is the joy of understanding it. Thus David himself goes on to plead, make me understand the way of your mandates, as we'll learn later on in Sefer Tehillim. Then again, these mandates rejoice the heart because their benefit is very great, even when they are fulfilled without being understood. When are these mandates right and properly fulfilled? When there is rejoicing of the heart. One is to keep them joyously. For those even who are not learned in the Torah, the mandates of Hashem are right, rejoicing the heart, provided they are fulfilled without improper motives. They are then a protective shield against the evil inclination of man's nature. The heart, thought, and the eyes are the agents of sin, so the commandment of Hashem is lucid, enlightening the eyes. This alludes to the commandment of tzitzis, for seeing the fringes and one's garments puts a gleam in one's eyes to fulfill all the mitzvahs. On occasion, in the midst of study, one will have a helpful new thought or useful insight. If at that moment there is rejoicing of the heart, then the person knows that the thought or insight is right. It was the Hashem's doing and the gift of God, as the pasuk says in Kehelis. Our sages teach, when one takes the words of the Torah to heart, worries of sword and famine are removed from him. He is spared foolish and erratic thoughts, thoughts of the evil inclination and thoughts of adultery, thoughts about trivia and worries about the ills and troubles of man. As it says in the book of Psalms by David, King of Israel, the mandates of Hashem are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Hashem is lucid, enlightening the eyes. He who does not take the words of the Torah into his heart is open to worries of the sword and all other worries, as it is written in the Torah, because you did not serve Hashem your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, therefore you will serve your enemies. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Devarim. The performance of a mitzvah is not complete unless performed joyously. The mandates of Hashem are right, done right when rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eyes, as no Jew is kept from performing at least one mitzvah perfectly. This single mitzvah is sufficient to enlighten his eyes and to draw him out of melancholy. Thus our sages say, anyone who performs a single mitzvah properly is dealt with benevolently. The commandment of Hashem is lucid, enlightening the eyes. It is an aspect of the Torah that it rectifies a man's character traits and his opinions. The Torah is lucid because it endows a person with majesty and brilliance. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Yiras Hashem Tohoro Omedes Lo'ad Mishpatei Hashem Emes Sadku Yachzor. The fear of Hashem is pure, enduring forever, and the ordinances of Hashem are true, righteous altogether. The fear of Hashem is pure. When a man is imbued with fear of Hashem, that keeps him from committing transgression even when he's by himself. He's held back from sin by the fear of Hashem. That fear is pure, enduring forever. It is not subject to change with the passage of time and continues for generations on end. When one is on guard against transgressing the negative commandments out of fear of Hashem, this brings purity into the soul. As a result of this purification, the soul endures forever. Another interpretation says, when there is fear of Hashem, one's Torah erudition endures forever. Thus our sages teach, Torah learning without fear of Hashem is to be compared to one who owns wheat but has no storage bin for keeping it safe. All the wheat then goes to waste, as this Torah says, and the stability of your times and the allusion to the six orders of the Mishnah, the fear of Hashem is this treasure house, a pasuk found in Yeshayahu. The fear of Hashem is pure, enduring forever. How is this so? You find a man who has studied and he knows in Medrash, Halacha, and the Gada, but if he has no fear of sin in him, he has nothing. Compare it to one man telling another that he owns 1,000 measures of wheat, oil, and wine. The other replies, if you have storage places to keep them, it's all yours, but if not, you own nothing. Similarly, the prophet says, and the stability of your times, the fear of Hashem is his treasure house. If the fear of Hashem is pure, it is not based on ulterior motives, such as fear of punishment and so forth, but stems from awe and Hashem's grandeur, then it is enduring forever. As the prophet says, O Ephraim, what will I do to you? O Yehuda, what will I do to you? For your goodness is as the morning cloud and as the dew that early passes away. A pasuk found in Hosea. Fear of punishment is compared to dew that does not stay upon the ground except at night. When the light of day comes, it disappears. Similarly, fear that is based on some cause vanishes as soon as the cause vanishes. Our sages infer from this pasuk that if one marries and then studies Torah, his fear of Hashem is pure. For sexual lust brings one to lust after wealth, to the quest of which he devotes his time. Once he is free, pure of that lust, he yearns for the Torah, which is then more desired than gold, than fine gold. The ordinances of Hashem are true. Some of the mitzvahs pertain to the public welfare, such as the prohibition against stealing, giving false weight, and so forth, and these are righteous altogether. There is no contradiction in them. Although the wicked are often seen to prosper greatly in this world, and the righteous are beset by great evil, nevertheless one must perceive that the ordinances of Hashem are true, righteous altogether. One must take into account the reckoning and reward in the world to come. It will then be seen that everything balances out. It is righteous altogether. For the righteous man has much good in the world to come, and the wicked man has much bad. Then again, This part of the pasuk speaks of the administration of justice. When all rulings by honest judges applying the ordinances of Hashem that are true are examined on the whole, altogether it is found that the verdicts were just. But if a judge perverts justice by accepting a bribe or by simply favoring one litigant over another, say by exempting him from taking an oath, all his verdicts are not righteous altogether. Thus the Torah says, the way of the just is straight. The just man makes level the curved path, a pasuk that's found in Yeshayahu. That is, the tzaddik keeps his path in judgment straight, so that all his rulings are equally honest. This is so because the straight path levels the curved path. Unlike the wicked, who by means of the curve level the straight, each time they rule in accordance with the curve of circumstances, rather than in accordance with the ordinances of Hashem as they truly are. On occasion it may happen, however, that a judge must by right rule to reverse an oath in order to carry out perfect justice. For example, if one man claims money from another who denies everything and becomes violent, the latter is exempt from taking an oath. Instead, the judges tell the claimant to swear that he other owes him money, and he then collects lawfully. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Hanechamadei mi zohov umipaz rov umisukim dvash v'nofes sufim. More to be desired are they than gold, than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. More to be desired are they than gold, than fine gold. People desire gold and fine gold because they keep their value. But the value of Torah learning is greater still, because it stands by a person even after his death. Therefore do people of understanding have a greater desire for Torah and wisdom. As Shlomo HaMelech said, all the things you desire are not to be compared to her. It's a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. The money is in this world, and the Torah is in this world, and in the world to come. Money can be stolen or lost at sea or on land, but not so the wisdom of the Torah. Money, when given away to another, does not remain with the giver, but Torah that is taught to another remains in one's possession. Sweeter also than honey. Eating too much honey nauseates, but this is not true for Torah study. As David goes on to say, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes. Its reward is forever. And he also says, teach me, O Hashem, the way of your statutes, and I will keep, for there is reward. Found later on the Tehillim. In other words, I will fulfill this mitzvah because it has a reward. The reward is very great, but it is concealed. As one increases material goods, one increases worry. But this is not so for Torah learning. Torah is thus more to be desired than fine gold. This may also be explained by means of a parable. Two gardeners brought of the fruit of their labors as a gift for the king. One of them was wise in working the land, and he invented ways to grow fruits that were beautiful to the eyes and desirable to the taste. The other was a simple farmer, and he brought of the fruit that were first to ripen when they were still not generally available. The king rewarded each of them gifts of his own. On their way home, the simple farmer said to his comrade, come, let us drink to the honor of the gifts that we have received from the king. Replied the other, know that there is a difference between my gift to the king and your gift. In just a short while, the fruit you gave will be plentiful in the marketplace, and so lose its value. But my fruit will always keep its great value. Similarly, all desirable goods lose their value the more plentiful they are, but not so the Torah. The more one continues to ponder it, the more tasteful one finds it to be. As the Talmud relates, King Artvin sent a precious pearl as a gift to the saintly Rabbi Yehuda. In the accompanying message he wrote, send me a thing that is precious among you. Rabbi Yehuda sent him a mezuzah. The other wrote back, I sent you a priceless article, while you sent me what can be purchased for a small amount of money. Rabbi Yehuda answered, you sent me something that I need to safeguard, and I sent you something ancient that guards you.
more to be desired are they than gold, than fine gold. When one studies Torah for its own sake, one loathes all silver and gold in the world. For its sake, one gives up all worldly pleasures. A story is told. A man once came to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, expressing a desire to study Torah so as to become rich. "Study, and I will give you riches," Rabbi Shimon answered. When some time later the man said to Rabbi Shimon, "Where are the riches?" Rabbi Shimon wanted to punish him, because he saw that the other was not studying for the sake of heaven. However, a heavenly echo voice said, "Do not punish him, for he will yet be a great man in Torah." So Rabbi Shimon again told the man, "Continue to sit at your studies, my son, and I will give you riches." It happened that a man came to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai bearing a gift, a goblet of fine gold. He explained that he inherited it from his father, 13 such goblets, and he vowed to give one of them to a Talmid Chacham. Rabbi Shimon took the goblet and handed it to his student who desired riches. Later, he noticed the student weeping. "Why do you weep?" he inquired. "Please take back the goblet," the other replied. "Should I then, heaven forbid, sell my reward for Torah study?" From that day onward, Rabbi Shimon called his student Ben Pazi, a son of fine gold. This story illustrates the words of David HaMelech, that more to be desired are they, the words of the Torah, than gold, than fine gold. The present pasuk and the previous pasuk are closely linked. That man in whom the fear of Hashem is pure, enduring forever, is the man who knows the preciousness of the Torah. The words of the Torah to him more to be desired than gold, than fine gold, and he passionately wants to study it. Pasuk Yudbeis, Pasuk 12. Gam avdecha nizhar behem b'shomrom ekev rav. Your servant is also warned, in keeping them there is much reward. Your servant, I do not include myself among the wise, says David, but I am your servant and I am warned of them, the laws of the Torah. In keeping them there is much reward. After he had fulfilled the mitzvahs, he understood their great value and the great reward of Torah study. A subtle interpretation reads, even those mitzvahs regarding which reason alone tells your servant to be warned to keep them, in keeping them there's much reward. In keeping them there's much reward, I was careful to keep the mitzvahs because of the great good they hold in store for them that fear you. The word akev means a heel, the end of the leg. Hence it designates here in the end. That is, in the end, there will be great reward for observance of the mitzvahs. Then again, David says, although I am a king, and it is the right of kings to act by royal mandate, nevertheless I do not depart in any way from the mitzvahs of the Torah. Since the yearning for Torah knowledge and performance of mitzvahs is so very powerful, and they delight our souls more than all other pleasures, this proves the perfection of our souls depends on the Torah. Accordingly, it is fitting that a man take care lest he forfeit his reward in the world of souls. Your servant is also warned of them, David says, for in keeping them there is much reward in the end. Some interpret warned of them as nizhor behem, refined to shine bright by them, for they elevate a man's soul. Not only do I yearn for them as one yearns for some delight, but I am also warned of them, for through careful observance there will be great reward in the world to come, and this reward is like a great light. Every tzaddik is given his own special light, and this light is even brighter than the light of the sun, which the previous verses acclaimed. David acclaimed the Torah as being sweeter than honey, and the scripture says in Mishlei, "Have you found honey? Eat so much as is enough for you." This alludes to the secret parts of the Torah. Furthermore, honey and milk, matters that stand so at the mysteries of the world, should be kept concealed under your tongue, as found in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Similarly, David says, "Your servant is also warned of them not to delve into those profound matters except within proper bounds." Pasuk Yud Gimel. Shigios miyavin minishtoros nakeni. Who can discern errors? Cleanse me of hidden faults. About errors,
sins committed inadvertently, he says, who can discern errors? Such errors, once committed, can however be rectified by sacrificing a sin offering, a chatas. Then he says about sins committed unknowingly, cleanse me of hidden faults, spare me from their punishment. The Medrash says that David knew how to plead properly before Hashem. First he sang songs of praise for Hashem and chanted praises of the Torah. Then he atoned for his errors, and when these were forgiven, asked that his hidden faults be overlooked. Having atoned for those, he then said, keep back your servant also from willful sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I will be faultless and blameless, free of the passion to commit sin, and so I will be clean of much transgression. The Medrash says further, there is a tenant farmer who knows how to ask what he wants from the owner of the land, and there is a tenant farmer who does not know how to ask. What does the first one do? As soon as he finds himself settled in his tentship, he brushes his hair, slips into nice clothes, adds ornaments, and so attired approaches the land. Welcome, welcome, my good tenant, the owner greets him. How have you been? Fine, fine, the other replies. How is the land? Has it produced its yield already? May you merit to eat of the fruit and be sated by it, replies the farmer. What about the cows? May you merit to eat of their fat. And the goats? May you merit to drink their milk. What then is your request? He asks finally. The tenant tells him, and his request is granted. The evil inclination in man, the Yetzer Hara, will on occasion convince him that it is too late for repentance, and he might as well eat and drink to his heart's desire. But King David says differently, like that farmer who was certain that the land would flourish once he received the necessary help from the landlord, David was trustful that Hashem would help him. So he sang that the heavens declared the glory of Hashem, and then said that with some slight help from on high, everything will be in order. David pleaded before Hashem, who can discern errors? Cleanse me of hidden faults. Although I have been scrupulously on guard against transgression, your servant is also warned of them. It is impossible not to err sometimes. Cleanse me also of hidden faults, of sins committed unknowingly. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. Gam mizeidim chasoch avdecha al yimshalu v'oz esam v'nikesi v'pesha rov. Keep back your servant also from willful sins. Men, let them not have dominion over me, then I will be faultless and blameless, and I will be clean of much transgression. Keep back your servant also from willful sins, Sedonos. David prays for help against the onslaught of his passions that urge him to sin willfully. He says, with all my might I will be on guard, but do you also help me not to be ruled by the evil inclination? Then I will be faultless and blameless, and I will be clean of much transgression. Pesha is transgression. Rebellious behavior is worse than sin, zodon, which is the result of passion. Sin leads to transgression. However, and so King David says, King David, keep back your servant from willful sins, and then I will be clean of much transgression. If you will cleanse me of the one, I will not stumble into the other. One does not commit an inadvertent sin unless one has first committed a willful sin. So David pleads, keep back your servant also from willful sins. Then I will be faultless and blameless. But if willful sin controls me, I will not be able to keep the commandments. There are three factors that prevent one from keeping the mitzvahs. One is error, the second is lack of knowledge and depth, and the third factor is persecution by evil men. Corresponding to these three factors, David has said here, who can discern errors? Cleanse me from hidden faults, and keep back your servant also from willful men. Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15. You, Leratzon, Imre Fi,
Vehegyon libi lefanecha Hashem suri v'glali. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you, O Hashem, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth be acceptable. David has asked for one specific thing after another, beginning with a plea to be forgiven his errors and continuing with a plea to be saved from hidden faults and willful sins and much transgression. Accordingly, he now asks that his entreaties be accepted. My entreaties are sincerely offered, and therefore my voice will assuredly be heard, for the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. Until now, I ask for help with my deeds, that I keep from committing wrongs inadvertently, and so on. Now I ask regarding my speech, may the words of my mouth be acceptable. Even if on occasion my prayers lack devout intent, I also ask regarding my thoughts, may the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you. Let not my thoughts stray to other things, but always be before you. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, may you protect me from unpremeditated sin, and if I sinned, may you redeem me from it, protect me from now on. In another interpretation, David says, may the words of my mouth be in accordance with your will, may they serve to appease you and be in accordance with your will, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you. For there are many musings of the heart which a man cannot express with his mouth. Similarly, David prayed, O Hashem, open you my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. And Shlomo said, the preparations of the heart are man's, but the answer of the tongue is from Hashem, a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. Hashem is my rock and my redeemer, and I entrust him with my plea. Restraint in speech can rectify, and the mouth can bring ruin. Thus silence can turn pesha into shefa, transgression into abundance, while speech can do the opposite. In the multitude of words there is no want of transgression. Pasuk that's found in Mishlei. By the way, if anybody wants, the entire Mishlei on 34 tapes have been done with the Ma'am Lois. Accordingly, David pleads that his words be well thought out. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart both be acceptable before you, O Hashem, my rock and my redeemer. David prayed that anyone who recites the Tehillim psalm should be reckoned as deserving as one who occupied himself with infections, negoyim, and defilements all in. That is to say, just as infections atone for sins, rectifying them, and defilements can be removed by sprinkling cleansing water, so may the words of Psalms rectify in every person the infections of his heart. Now we go to chapter 20, Pasuk 1. Lamnatzeach Mizmor LeDavid, for the conductor of Psalm of David, Pasuk base. Yanch Hashem b'yom tzora yisagev choshem Elohei Yaakov. May Hashem answer you in the day of trouble. The name of Hashem of Yaakov set you high. This psalm was chanted by King David every time he dispatched Joab to lead the Jewish people into battle. It was his prayer on their behalf. Thus the scripture relates that after David grew old and his army chiefs did not want him to risk accompanying them into battle, they said to him, now it is better that you be ready to succor us out of the city. Pasuk is found in Shemuel base. Accordingly, our sages declare that if not for David, Joab would not make war. While they fought and faced many hours of great adversity, he prayed that Hashem answer you, help Joab and his army in the day of trouble. The name of Hashem of Yaakov set you high. He mentioned Yaakov, for Hashem had dispatched angels to help him against Esau. Similarly, may he send his good angels to guard them from their enemies. Another reason for mentioning Yaakov is that Yaakov had suffered greatly, more than Avram or Yitzchak. A further reason is that the Jewish people are named after Yaakov. As the pasuk says in Yeshayahu,
Fear not, O Yaakov, my servant. Some say that the Jews would recite this prayer for David when he went to war. They prayed that Hashem grant him victory in every battle. The Medrash says, why does it say the God of Yaakov? Said Reish Lakish, compare it to a woman who was sitting on the birth stool. Her birth pangs were very severe, but she could not give birth. So they said to her, we do not know what to tell you, but may the one who answered your mother when she was suffering the travail of giving birth to you now answer you in your travail. Similarly, David said to the Jewish people, may the one who answered your father Yaakov in his time of trouble now answer you in the time of your trouble. Just as Yaakov prayed and made there an altar to Hashem who answered me in the day of my distress, Pasuk in the Chumash Bereishis, so also may Hashem answer you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Yaakov set you high. The analogy to giving birth is continued. Just as there's no birth without pain, so every affliction that befalls the Jewish people brings some good, like a mother's birth pangs. Accordingly, the scripture says, surely God is good to Israel, even to such as are pure in heart, as we'll learn later on in the Tehillim. Thus, all the troubles that befell Yaakov were in preparation for the good of Israel. May Hashem answer you in the day of trouble, even though you did not call for help before the trouble came, but did so only in the day of trouble. Hashem will answer you. However, it will only save you from evil through the name of the God of Yaakov. After Yaakov was saved from Esau, the scripture thus says, and he erected there an altar and called it God, the God of Israel. Pasuk is found in Chumash Bereishis. Similarly, it says, the merciful, loving kindness of Hashem lasts all the day. And Yaakov said, Hashem who answers me in the day of my distress. That is to say, the trouble that he feared never took place. On the contrary, by having fled from Esav to the house of Laban, he fathered sons and became wealthy and came back with mighty possessions. Some note that because David said in the previous psalm, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you, my rock and my redeemer, he says here, may Hashem answer you even when you do not ask it of him. Even if at this time you do not send him an offering, may he remember all your meal offerings that you had brought him previously, and may he send forth your help from the sanctuary. Even if you do not have a meal offering at all, may he grant you according to the goodness of your own heart. We're going to learn this in the next few psukim. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3, Yishlach Ezruchom Mikodesh.